Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we are about to wrap up our study on meaningful prayer in 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. You may recall that in this section, John deals with freedom to pray, encouragement to pray, and requirements for answered prayer. And all of these things are vitally important, and we've covered them all, though I'll probably touch upon each one of them lightly before we draw some final applications from this passage. The verses in question are verses 21 and 22 of 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Verse 21 deals with freedom to pray. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Obviously, we cannot have freedom to go before God in prayer if our heart is condemning us. If our heart is condemning us because of unconfessed sin, we know from Scripture that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If our heart is condemning us because of lack of faith, we're not believing the promises of God, we are perhaps struggling with issues that really are unnecessary because they're dealt with in the Bible, but because we are not laying hold on the Word of God and trusting His promises, then we have a condemning heart, a troubled heart. And so if we have a troubled heart, we're not going to have free access to God in prayer. But if we have a quiet heart that does not condemn us and a confident heart that boldly approaches the throne of God on the basis of truth as He has revealed it to us in His Word, because we are trusting Jesus Christ, because we are believing that our sins have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, because we are responding to the promises of God in coming to God in prayer, and we believe these promises to be true, and that we do have access because our heavenly high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is representing us before the throne of God in heaven. When all of these things are true, then we have freedom to go to God in prayer. And that's one of our greatest privileges as Christians, to be able to approach the throne of God, the throne of God, the throne of the one who rules this universe and rules over the 7+ billion people who are in this world, and you and I, insignificant individuals in many ways in the vastness of the population of this world, but if we are coming in the way prescribed by the Word of God, then we can boldly, freely come to God and know that we have audience with Him and that He will hear our prayers. Wonderful, wonderful truth to have this freedom to pray. But there are a couple of other matters. We'll pause to welcome you to this Tuesday, August 7 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we are dependent upon the gifts of radio listeners to stay on this station. Thank you so much, those of you who have responded to this need. Well, the encouragement to pray, of course, is the first part of verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. And that is a wonderful encouragement, and I don't have time to go back over all that again, but to realize that there really is no limit on what we can ask. However, the last part of the verse is going to tell us how our request will be shaped in a God-honoring way. But we need to realize that in prayer, we are approaching a great King, and therefore great petitions we can bring. If I went to, say I'm a child at home, I'm still living at home, and I approach my brother or sister to see if they can lend me a quarter or a dollar, make it a dollar. Dollar's not much these days. But that's probably about all I could expect from them. That might be a pretty big request for them, and they might comply. They might turn me down. But suppose I had audience with the richest man in the world, and he said, what would you request? He's invited me to come. He's invited me to ask what I will. And I said, could you let me have a dollar? That's almost insulting. What? That's all you're asking me for is a dollar? Why don't you ask me for a million? That's nothing to me. I'm the richest man in the world, and I invited you to come. And you see, we can actually dishonor God by failing to believe that He is able to grant big requests. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that He's not concerned about little matters as well, and He is. I'm not saying that we shouldn't insult Him with the little matters and only take the big matters to Him. No, we should take everything to the Lord in prayer. But do you understand what I'm saying? If we never ask Him for anything that is significant, that would require an unusual manifestation of His wisdom and power and an unusual tapping into His resources, if we just never did that, it would sure seem like it's because we either don't think He's able to grant a request like that, or that He doesn't love us enough to be willing to do that. It's really rather demeaning and insulting to approach the greatest power in the universe, who has all power, who has all resources, unlimited, and we never bring anything great. So yes, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. This is an encouragement to pray, but we come to the last part of verse 22, and we get the requirements for answered prayer. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And some people will say, there's the catch. But I really don't think we should view it as the catch. I think we should view it as the information, the piece of information that causes prayer to make sense. We really know that it's not honoring to God if I just go and ask Him to give me things that don't honor Him, that don't pertain to anything substantial. They're just material things that I can squander on my own self, my own selfish interests. We know instinctively that that's really not what prayer is all about. And so this last phrase shapes the first part of verse 23, or 22 rather, the encouragement to pray, that whatever we ask, we receive from Him, and it brings it into focus, but once we understand it, it doesn't really diminish it, it enlarges it. And what are the requirements for answered prayer? They are, number one, an obedient life, and number two, a God-centered life. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments, an obedient life. We keep His commandments. We do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We keep His commandments, first of all. Commandments are the explicit requirements of God's revealed will. And that is our goal. That is our aim. That is what we live for. We are endeavoring with the help and grace of God to keep His commandments. And when that's the kind of life we're living, then we can ask whatever we will. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's a little bit of an expansion on keeping the commandments. Keeping the commandments narrows things down to those specific commands. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight enlarges it a bit to just basically say those spontaneous acts of love toward God and desire to please Him. It's just simply saying that we're living a life that is given to Him, that honors Him, that is more concerned about the things that belong to Christ's kingdom than the things that belong to me and to my kingdom, if we want to put it that way. And it is simply saying, in a very simple way, that the basis for answered prayer is a desire to please God. And when it is, when our whole life is given to pleasing God, which is the whole purpose for our being here anyway, why did God create us? Why did God give me life? Why does God sustain my life? Why am I taking up space on God's earth if I'm not here to please the one who made me and who sustains me? Now, only true Christians understand that, really understand it, because we have to have a changed heart that not only understands the reason for our being here, but also has a desire and a joy in entering into that. We really find our joy in pleasing God as a result of the new birth. If we don't have that joy in pleasing Him, we undoubtedly have not really been saved. We haven't been born anew. So back up and recognize your need. But if we are a child of God, transformed by the power of God, then we have within us this desire to live a life that's pleasing to God. And as we are keeping His commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in His sight, that will shape the kind of requests we make. That will sanctify our requests so that they will not be selfish requests, but unselfish ones. So that they will not be me-centered requests, but Him-centered requests. So that they won't be God-centered requests, but or man-centered requests, but rather God-centered requests. So that they won't be earth-bound requests, and they may very much have to do with things on earth, but they won't be earth-bound requests, but they will be heavenly ordained requests, heavenly considered requests that have the interests of Christ's kingdom in mind, which of course is a kingdom that is being ever expanded here in this world as much as in the world to come. It has two aspects of it, and the kingdom of Christ is in the hearts of all of His people right now. And as more and more people come into saving union with Jesus Christ, then in that sense, His kingdom on earth is expanding, but the fullness of it, of course, comes in the future. And that's why we pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But when that's our life, our desire is to obey His commandments and to do those things that are pleasing in His sight, then the petitions we bring will all relate to that in some way. And so when we pray for healing, it's related to the interests of Christ. And when we pray for material things, it's because they are related to the interests of Christ in His kingdom. And on it goes, and I will have to enlarge upon this, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.